Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Do you feel tossed about or a little disoriented sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah. The foundations of predictable society. I think if all of us would get together in a room and really think about this, everybody's hand would be up in the air. Things are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in this ambiguous cultural forecast, we're often left wondering, you know, what's right, what matters most, how should I respond to this as a follower of Jesus? Here's a big question for us. How do we build a meaningful life and legacy when our lives feel so fragile and when our future seems discouragingly uncertain?
I know. When we decided to speak with Daniel Henderson about his book, Never Shaken, I thought, I need to take notes.
Yeah. It was kind of like a little Bible study.
Yes, it was.
Taking a look at David's psalm that he wrote, Psalm 15, five verses that are filled with truth. It's practical theology, where the rubber meets the road. You need to hear this conversation, and you might even want to take some notes. This book is based on it's kind of a short psalm. It's Psalm 15. Tell us more.
Yeah, my editor, Moody, I can't believe he wrote a whole book on five verses, but it has been my favorite psalm for decades and has been really an anchor to my soul and daily choices. And I'm just so glad I finally had the opportunity to put a pin to it and maybe share it with others in a way that'll be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since it's five verses, we love to share the Word of God live on the radio. So let's just go ahead and read Psalm 15. This is out of the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath, even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Okay, so yes, five verses, but Daniel, there's a ton in there. You're right.
Yeah, they pack a punch, that's for sure.
Wow, where do we start? Oh, man, well, let's start at the very first verse. Let's just unpack some of this stuff. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? What's the takeaway for us here?
Yeah, well, scholars, many of them have concluded that David wrote this psalm after he had been betrayed and banished by Absalom, his son, which really adds meaning to that question. Because it really dates the time, because now the tent is on the holy hill, and that's a time marker in David's life and in Jerusalem's history. So he's asking a question about who really knows you, Lord? Who's really worshiping authentically? Because David is out in the middle of nowhere running for his life. And, of course, you can imagine a lot of other questions he might be asking. You know, how can I get my kingdom back? How can I get rid of this good-for-nothing son? You know, how am I going to survive? But the one question that dominates his heart, it's really a twofold question there, but is who really knows you in this journey, Lord? What's it mean to be authentic with you? And David does what we all ought to do when we're in crisis, and that is press into intimacy with God, which is the source of all of our hope, our joy, our sustenance. So, you know, David's probably in his early 70s when this happens. And you think that's the time when you're going to retire and ride around the country in Winnebago, and he's lost it all.
Yeah.
But his question is not about the circumstances he's facing. It's about the condition of his heart. And that's what makes this psalm so real and so practical.
You point something out, Daniel, that I find to be very interesting. David writing this in his early 70s, I hadn't really thought about that could be the season of his life. You know, he was in his 70s when Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom. Wow, that's a big deal. That's kind of an aha moment. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, it's not the first time he's been on the run. You know, he spent probably 15 plus years running from Saul. And he's probably wondering, really? Not again, you know, but again, his heart. That's what makes him a man after God's own heart. In spite of all his foibles and failures, in the midst of crisis, his heart goes back to pursuing God and having an authentic relationship with the Lord.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Curtain Cape Mornings podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
We're at verse 2 now. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. And the setup is, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. Okay, Daniel, I got a problem when I read this maybe, and I'm thinking, my walk is not blameless.
Yeah, so what's beautiful about verse 2, it's about really integrity and what integrity is made of personally. And it start, you know, the overview, the testimony is a blameless life. What's behind that is righteous living, and the core of that is truth in the heart. And this ultimately all points to the gospel. We were talking about Holy Week earlier, right? And that's what's beautiful about this psalm. In the Old Testament, it was an entrance psalm that was kind of a heart check for the Jewish people as they came to worship. But for us, it points us to the finished work of Christ. I love what Dane Ortlund said about Psalm 15. He says, not a question then of whether Christ is the one who does Psalm 15 or whether we are. The answer is both, and in that order. And I love that. I mean, it points us to the work of the gospel that, first of all, transforms our heart with the power of truth and then imputes to us the righteousness of Christ and the power to live righteously, ultimately so that we have a testimony of blamelessness and integrity before a watching world. Again, all of it coming down to that first question, our abiding in Christ that is the power for that kind of righteous living.
The one who dwells in your sacred tents, the person whose tongue utters no slander, this is verse 3, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. While the tongue is very difficult to tame, watch out for that. I mean, it's pretty obvious. The Bible is clear about that. And James, in his letter in the New Testament, he talks about the tongue basically setting a whole forest on fire.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And in fact, verses 3 and 4, verse 2 is about personal integrity. Verses 3 and 4 are all about relational integrity. And, you know, Kurt, what's interesting about this psalm, everything the Lord is telling David he's got to embrace afresh and anew are the things that he has been victimized by, in a sense, you know, slander and people doing evil and all that led up to his banishment by Absalom. And so the Lord is saying to him, David, now, you know, again, don't try to just fix the problem or, you know, overcome your enemy, but deal with your own life, your own heart. And as you said, the tongue is obviously the expression of the heart. So in the verse 3, it's really what we say about others and then how we act toward others. We do no evil. And then literally it's what we receive. Another version, the ESV says, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So it's a matter not only what we say, how we act, but even what we give ear to. And of course, David now is banished because people had been listening to things about him that weren't true. And now he's been victimized by that. It's been said, you may be Lord of your tongue, but I'm also the master of my ears. So both of those are pretty important in terms of how we relate to people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord. Okay, is it okay to despise a vile person?
Well, it really is. I mean, the scripture is very clear about that, you know, and you look at Romans 1 and what it says. Obviously, we need to love them, demonstrate the gospel to them, but we need to understand the impact of their behavior on us and on our children. You know, it's been said, tell me your heroes and I'll tell you who you'll become. And, you know, it's just amazing how in this day of social media, how children, teens, adults all honor people who really are enemies of the gospel, but they're great entertainers or sports figures or whatever the case is. So, you know, I call this godliness by association. And of course, the positive side is we just have a heart of honor toward those who do fear the Lord. And, you know, I remember telling my kids, you know, how, well, as we know from scripture, he who walks with wise men will be wise. And again, ungodly associations can lead to all kinds of negative and sinful outcomes.
Boy, that's true. All right. So let's unpack the final verse here. All right, so this is, all right. All right. Well, let's finish on
verse four.
Yeah. Who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. Okay, let's unpack that part of it.
That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. I mean, the world is rife with broken commitments. People just trying to say what is going to make them feel better about themselves or help people like them, whatever the case is. And again, David's in this problem because there were a whole lot of broken commitments along the way. And God is saying to David, if you're going to be a man of integrity, your yes has to be yes, your no has to be no. And obviously, you know, we unpack what that means from a broader theme of Scripture about being careful about the vows you make, about why you make certain commitments and the importance of keeping them. I remember when my kids were young, we had 12 family principles. One of them was always keep your word.
Yep.
And of course, when I told my kids, we'll go out to play when I get home, you know, Dad, always keep your word, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Not going to forget that one.
So that's the bottom line. Yeah. You always keep your word.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to verse 5, the final verse here in the psalm. Who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. All right, let's talk about that part.
Yeah, you know, there's no adage, most sensitive nerve in the human body is the one between the wallet and the heart, right?
So, yeah, that's well said, well said.
And, you know, there had to be some exchanging of money and promises about money as it related to what happened to David here at the hands of Absalom. And again, David's just being reminded by God, even how what you do with your money is an expression of real integrity, both the outflow of money and the income of money. And so there's a whole chapter just deals with this about just a biblical perspective on our motives behind our money and how important it is to our testimony of integrity.
You know, when we take a look at this, Daniel, we remember the story of David and Bathsheba, of course, and what happened with that and how Nathan, and if you don't know the story, it's David and Bathsheba, you know, committed adultery and David had her husband killed, Uriah the Hittite, and the baby, she became pregnant, the baby ended up dying, and Nathan the prophet came to David after a period of time and said, he told him a parable and basically said, okay, God has seen what you have done, you're the man, and the Lord has forgiven you, but the sword will never depart from your house. And so when we think about Absalom and what happened with him eventually, and we look at David's life after that, we see the grace of God, but then we also see the fact that consequences still remain. And God doesn't take those. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. Sometimes he may soften the consequences, what have you, but most of the time he lets them play out. And so what happened with David was pretty severe consequences, and you know, the deal with Absalom wanting to take over the kingdom and everything. It just, there's a lot to this, but may we never forget that even though God is a God of grace, that's what we celebrate this Holy Week, Jesus dying for our sins on the cross, the great love shown for us, all of that. And yet we need to fear the Lord and be aware the consequences do remain. I think that's just wisdom to embrace that fact. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree. And that's what, again, as we said, makes David a man after God's own heart. He could have just wallowed in guilt, you know, who knows, depressed, ready to end it all. There's all kinds of reactions we tend to have at times like that when we realize what we're dealing with is not disconnected from our previous behavior, you know, as it was with Absalom and David distancing himself. But again, David comes back to the foundation, Lord, no matter how I fail, no matter what's going on, I want to be intimate with you. And I want you to continue to build my life of integrity. And you know what I love about Psalm 51 that you referenced, Kurt, when he said in verse 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. And David comes back to that core issue. I'm going to speak the truth in my heart. I'm going to live righteously, walk with integrity, have godly relationships, you know, honor the Lord in my money. And as I do that, born out of my intimacy with God, I will never be shaken. And that's just where we have to live every day.
Wow. What a great exhortation. Mm. Just some wonderful meat, man. When we dive into the word like this, Daniel, I kind of feel like we had like a little Bible study going on here. I love this. This is really where the rubber meets the road. Thank you, my friend, for being with us. Again, you don't have to write a book to hang out with us. We want to have you back whenever you want to join us.
Well, bless you guys. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.